Hello everyone, welcome to the last show of 2024. It's an exciting day and today I have with me for the very first time and for the very last time in this year. Sorry, weird joke. But yeah, for the very first time I have with me, she's been on the show but not with me,
Annika. Hi, thank you, Majid, for the
She works for Love in Dubai and she's a very big crypto enthusiast, which I learned recently. So we'll talk about that. Well, we'll talk about a lot of stuff that is happening. Today is the 31st of December, 2024. Today is New Year's Eve after like 6-7 hours.
And amazing.
Dubai is preparing for like millions of dollars of fireworks and drone shows and everything. What is your New Year plan?
Yes. So I will not be anywhere near downtown Dubai.
Thankfully, yes.
Currently, no New Year's plans, but it's very interesting that you mentioned that because I recently went for a shoot to a place in downtown, which is right. It's one of those restaurants inside Dubai Mall that overlook the downtown Dubai. I mean, overlooks the Burj Khalifa and all of that. And, not overlooks, but like has the view of the fountains and all of that. And the hostess tells me that they are going to charge 10,000 dirhams for a seat
per
their
person.
Restaurant. Yeah.
Only 10,000?
Or like 10,000 for a table. But this is a place that does not serve alcoholic beverages.
Still 10,000?
10,000. So she said the reason why she's able to do that is because the restaurants around downtown, like around the Burj Khalifa, like Five Guys, Tim Hortons,
everywhere.
All of those, they're going to charge like the same price for a seat. So imagine, you will have the most expensive coffee, sandwich, whatever, just for the view. But Dubai is one of the most Instagrammable spots.
Yes, and Burj Khalifa is like the thing to go to for New Year's Eve. I was reading a report yesterday actually from AP News, Associated Press, and they said that Dubai was on third on their list for New Year's Eve this
year. What was the first two?
One was New York or something. I don't remember correctly. U.S. obviously, their AP is American, so they'll always put their country or city first. second one was, it was Indonesia or something.
Interesting.
Apparently, they're having a very big, again, same, it was in China. A city of China, again, very difficult names. I always forget them, but one city in China. So U.S. was tops, China. And then Dubai was the most traveling. They took some data from some traveling website on how people book tickets to which places for New Year's, and Dubai was top third. So everyone is coming to Dubai. Habibis.
Yeah.
Everyone is coming to Dubai.
Especially.
And yesterday my wife came back from Riyadh, and on the airport she had to wait 2 hours in the line just to get checked out because I have a son. He's younger, so he can't go through the smart gates. I don't know why. He tried. A lot of people were going, but they stopped him. But
he's too small for the camera.
We could pick him up. So she was a lot of people were picking up their kids and they took pictures and went, maybe some other technicality. But she's 2 hours in the line because everyone was coming to Dubai. Some people were coming from the holidays or something. And some of them were coming for the new year. And I suspect 90% of them were coming for the new year.
There is a huge rush, but it's very well-deserved rush. And we have been covering stories so much of Burj Khalifa, the downtown Dubai, that whole area, Global Village. Dubai has so much to offer, especially in this festive season, period. Makes sense.
And the traffic is going to be crazy. So if you guys are going there to downtown, anywhere,
there are already road closures that are being announced by the RTA.
So the best time, what I realized after spending two New Years here, is always go in the afternoon, early in the afternoon, around 1 or 2. Because even the Burj Khalifa metro station, the Dubai Mall metro station, it closes at 4:30, 5.
Yeah.
The time cutoff is 5, but usually it gets so full that they close it before time. So if you're planning to go and if you're spending your night on the roads.
I remember two New Year's back, I was stuck in a traffic inside an RTA bus. I was going X25 from Burjuman to Silicon Oasis. I was stuck in the bus. And the bus was stuck. Yeah, I slept off in the bus and I woke up to the sound of firecrackers going outside. And the bus was just stuck in the traffic on a road.
Yeah.
So it's just, if you're going out, good luck. May the force be with you.
You'll need a lot of stamina and a lot of walking. But it's a very community thing. The last time I saw, the last New Year, I was on Sheikh Zayed Road in Blue Tower. My uncle lives there. So I could see everything. Like, he had a 3-bedroom apartment. So like, two walls are completely glass. So I could see the Burj Khalifa side as well. And I could see, what's the other one? The
Dubai frame,
Burj Al Arab. So I could see like a whole panoramic view of all the fireworks taking
place.
Those
are the really blessed ones.
Yeah, so I guess he bought that apartment a lot, very expensive apartment, only for the reason he could see the fireworks. But yeah, my friend was stuck there and he came back around 5 or 6 a.m. in the morning because he's like, we had to walk a lot, then take the metro and wait for the metro.
It's so hard. Yeah. It's so hard.
But yeah, if you're young and energetic and you want to experience something, and it's a very community feeling.
Yeah. It's usually the people who've just come to Dubai or they've been in Dubai for only 2-3 years, they are the ones who really want to go out and see.
At least once.
I can't blame. Exactly. It is a one-time bucket list experience.
Yeah. Okay. So, a lot of things about New
about
Year.
The UAE
but
and Dubai.
Let's move to the main things, the business things, the billions and millions that we were talking about. UAE. We'll start with UAE. We're going all full impromptu over this. From memory.
Great.
Let's see how much we remember what happened in the UAE. So the very first memory of this year was the rains,
April 16th.
April 16th. 75 years have gone by since the rainfall records and recording and all that was started. So since then, it was the biggest rain in UAE and in the region as well.
Yeah.
So that happened and then we saw millions and billions of dollars of sewerage plants.
Yes.
That's the very first thing that I remember from this year, the biggest plan. And Sheikh Hamdan, the Dubai Crown Prince, he announced a plan. Sharjah later in June or July, they announced a plan for the whole sewerage plant.
There are videos of them already beginning work on it. I think if I'm not wrong, it was 300 billion.
Yeah, it was in billions. I've stopped counting because every time they announce something, it's in either millions or billions. And yesterday I was watching a video and someone said that if you want to understand the difference between millions and billions, don't go into zeros. The easiest way to remember how big a million is and a billion is, 1 million seconds is equal to 11 and a half days. 1 million seconds is equal to 11.5 days.
Okay.
1 billion seconds is equal to, guess, 31 years.
Whoa.
So that's the difference between million. That's the easiest way to remember because we always get confused in the zeros that are there. And in Asian system, we also use a different comma system.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, because after the first three zeros, we put a comma.
Put
but
a
then
comma.
We put a comma after every two.
Two numbers. Yeah,
yeah
every
but
two
internationally,
digits.
It's after every three zeros.
Yes.
So yeah, that's also a problem with us.
Yeah.
In the region. We get confused in lakh and crores and millions and billions. We always get confused.
We do.
But UAE, the main thing that I remember, the biggest thing that I remember happened in the UAE in this year were two things. Mm-hmm. One was the formation of G42.
Yes.
G42 is an AI giant. Mm-hmm. Basically, it's a company which comes under International Holding Company, which is owned and run by Sheikh Thanoon. He was the top, one of the top people in the Times 100 list for top people in AI in the world. So he was named in that list. He is the deputy president or vice president. He's the security minister for UAE. He's a lot of things. He wears a lot of hats. But the main thing is he is the chair of IHC, International Holding Company, which started G42. Now, the whole idea of G42 was very simple, to make other companies, but all focused on AI data infrastructure. So the very first thing that they did, they created a company called Core42, which is a $100 billion company. And their main purpose is to just go build data centers, take over companies which are building data centers, like buy them if they think they're good enough, and invest in data centers which are already running. So one company specifically to build and manage data centers. That's Core42 for you.
Interesting.
Then they build another company, G42, which is called MGX. MGX is also mandated under the Abu Dhabi government, so it comes under the government. MGX is again a $100 billion company. They have $100 billion at their disposal to buy or invest in any AI startup. And what they did was, the very first thing, they invested in XAI.
Wow.
So, okay. And they also participated in OpenAI, which is the owner of ChatGPT. ChatGPT raised, OpenAI raised $6.6 billion, the largest VC fund in the history. They raised $6.6 billion and MGX was a part of it. Mm-hmm. And recently, they invested in xAI, which also raised $6 billion. They're like the top three companies. The top company in the world, which has the most VC fund like money, is ByteDance, mm-hmm. owners of TikTok. Then there's SpaceX, Elon Musk.
Okay.
And then there is OpenAI. So they've invested in the biggest giants possible. So UAE did this. This is like, if you keep your focus mostly on Abu Dhabi, then you know about the capital of capital thing, right? That Abu Dhabi was recently announced as the capital of capital. They beat Oslo.
Ah, it is in their song also. They even launched a song
about
it.
Capital of capital, yeah.
Capital
of capital. It's a very nice song. It's a very catchy song. But yeah, Abu Dhabi became the capital of capital.
What does that mean?
It's very simple. They have the largest sovereign wealth fund-based money in the world right now. So it's the richest city in the world.
Wow.
Richest.
I'm not surprised. You see the city, you know that this is not...
You go to Abu Dhabi, I've realized, you go to Abu Dhabi, you feel the luxury.
You do. You really do.
You feel luxury, exclusivity.
Yes.
In Dubai, Dubai is literally for everyone.
Dubai is a little... Yes, it's a little more of a... Like, yes, there is the bling part, but then there's also like, you can also get a 5 dirham samosa.
Yeah.
Not that you can't get that in Abu Dhabi.
Yeah.
But in Abu Dhabi,
you just feel it.
There's
royalness on the road. You go on the road, there's no such big traffic. You just go and you enjoy and you're like, oh, I'm the king of the city. You feel this. But it's the richest city in the world. So there's an organization, a world sovereign wealth fund, something. They do the data, they collect the data and they finalize it. So Abu Dhabi this year beat Oslo, Norway's Oslo. Mm-hmm. And they become the biggest biggest richest city. The funny thing is that they hold 1.7 trillion now. At the time when it was announced that they're the richest city, it was 1.3 trillion. So within 2 months, they added nearly 400 billion to their portfolio, all the sovereign wealth funds.
I wonder how, what's happened for such a spike?
They just invested in everything. As soon as they realize they're the richest, they're like, oh, we have a lot of money. Let's invest in everything. That's the easiest way I can explain it. But Abu Dhabi has ADIA, Abu Dhabi Investment Authority. Again, it's chaired by Sheikh Thanun. So, yeah.
I think recently someone was doing an article. I think Ward was trying to do a story on him.
Because he keeps meeting all the big people in the world. He met Elon Musk. When,
and they tweeted about it too.
Yeah, he went to the our president, His Highness Sheikh Mohammed. He went to the U.S. Sheikh Thanun was with him. He met Elon Musk. He met Mark Zuckerberg. They went to the gym together. Mm. So, the Bloomberg article that you're talking about.
Yes, everywhere but nowhere or something.
Yeah, it's a very interesting idea that he's always in Abu Dhabi. If you want to find him, you just need to know the right spots. And Bloomberg did a whole depth research on where to find him, how to find him, who are the people who are close to him. And the most interesting thing about that article was, you can't just meet him over a coffee. He will love to go to a workout with you. So you will be running on the treadmill and he'll be talking to you. He would want to engage in some activity, like not the normal coffee table and meeting rooms. He'll want to engage with you in an activity and then talk about whatever you want.
Wow, you really have to break a sweat.
Yeah,
this
literally, literally. So that's the main thing. UAE, just quick notes if you want to talk about it. The biggest things, other biggest things that overall UAE did is $1.5 billion from Microsoft.
Yes.
For data and AI again. It's all about AI in this year, to be honest.
Yes.
When we come to Dubai, it's going to be about property, don't worry. But in Abu Dhabi, it was mostly about AI. And then Microsoft announced two data centers that they'll be opening in Abu Dhabi. So that happened. That's like the $1 billion things that I will remember for the next 20 years. Because these are things that tell you that everyone believes in the city and country.
Yes,
everyone wants to come here.
Of course.
Yeah.
I don't want to start my whole rant on like why there's no shock there.
Yeah.
But yeah, there is no shock there.
Trust me.
No, it's just there's so much. There's like, why would you not? The safety, the security, the opportunity. And like, I'm sorry, but like you look to the West and like right now they're really bogged down by so many internal conflicts and struggles. We have our conflicts in the region, but it's not like there are cities like there are countries like the UAE that are still progressing, you know, and like really setting a benchmark as to what it's like to be truly considered a developed nation.
So, but the main thing is they have worked towards it. They didn't just get it like in a plate and they're like, okay, thank you very much. They worked towards it. The policies,
they're very potential proactive. And they worked on it.
And yesterday I was talking to a taxi driver, just a small thing, the idea how UAE and Dubai, he spent here like 23 years.
I love those stories. I love those stories.
Their story that they've spent 23 years in the country. They've literally seen everything built from scratch. And he was from Deer and the Pakistani northern areas. Those are agencies. So he was from Deer and I asked him, like, how did you come here? He's like, I came here for a normal labor job. We used to take stuff from first floor to 10th floor, 20th floor. And he was like, we loved the idea that they were building swimming pools and buildings and such nice hotels. And then he's like, in the last 10, 15 years, I've been 15 years nearly, he's driving taxi. It's like, I've met every person and I've never seen one person say anything bad about the UAE. Even if they're a tourist, a resident. It's like, the idea that this is so safe and so nice is just great.
Yeah.
And the one story that he told me that I'll remember again is of a woman, like he was like, she was from India. She sat down. She asked me, can you take me to this place? She wanted to go towards Satwar Dera side. And he was like, yeah, I'll take you. And throughout the road, she was like, he said, I just sensed she was like scared because she had just come from India. And I asked her, I was like, sister, what happened? Are you scared or what happened? She's like, oh, just nighttime, so I don't think it's safe and this and that. And it's like, nothing will happen to you. This is my guarantee. And I was like, how did you give a guarantee? He's like, because I have lived here, I have realized nothing happens here. It's so safe. You can just walk out on the road in the middle of the night or at 4 a.m. and just be careless. Have your new iPhone in your pocket, like million dirhams in your pocket. Whatever you have, nothing
Yeah, there was a recent story that we covered on Love in Dubai about a delivery rider who returned 17,000 dirhams to the the customer. Yeah. It was amazing. Those stories don't come out of everywhere, but they do come out. They're very normal. We take it for granted, those kind of stories here. So it's...
And to be honest, it's these things that happen at the atomic level, like the most basic level, that eventually give rise to this community where then there's business security as well.
Yeah.
You start a business, you know no one can cheat you because the rule of law is so strict. So yeah, these things all happened in the UAE. Dubai-wise, let's come to a little Dubai as well. Dubai is the crown of UAE. What like they say that. I don't say that. People say that it's the crown of Dubai, of the UAE. But Dubai has the largest private capital wealth pool, private wealth pool, which is there in the UAE. They have $1.3 trillion.
You know, but they and they have 40 billion bitcoins. I mean, not bitcoins, crypto. Bitcoin, Bitcoin, 40 billion in Bitcoin.
Oh, yeah, they said that. I don't know if they haven't confirmed it. I messaged one guy, DMCC head. He is the head of DMCC Crypto Center.
Yeah.
Let's see if he confirms it and he gives us some potential on it. But yeah, a lot of things are happening in Dubai as well. The main things that I can remember is the future event happened, Dubai Future Forum. Some of the biggest things, Jitex happened.
Jitex,
Expand North Star was a part of it. Jitex had like, I don't know, hundreds of thousands of people flocking to the city. Gulf Food, all these like four or five big events, all of them happened.
Yeah, World Trade Center had a busy.
Yeah, and that is why they're trying to move World Trade Center. Basically, this is a story that a lot of people don't know, that World Trade Center was owned by government, but now it's owned by a private holding company.
Oh.
Yeah, and though that private holding company then bought the exhibition, Dubai Exhibition Center in Expo City.
Right.
So Expo City was wholly owned by the Dubai government. But these guys, they went in, they bought the Dubai Exhibition Center. So most probably in the next few years, you will see that the Dubai World Trade Centers, all of the events will move to
kind
Expo 2020.
To Expo. We already see a bit of a shift there.
And that is one, there's one more reason to it because Dubai International Airport is soon going to shift
to Al Maktoum.
So it'll become easier to just land there and go there rather than go from this corner to that corner.
Interesting.
And there's also metro access there as well. So yeah, most probably soon you'll see. And there's expansion projects, again, millions of dollars of expansion project happening in Expo City, the Way Exhibition Center specifically. So most probably the rush, the traffic that you see on the Way World Trade Center, metro, and the roads during these events, in 1 or 2 years, that will also disappear. So this is the proactive thinking, the planning that I'm talking about.
Yes, the Metro Blue Line.
Yeah, the new Metro Blue Line. Yeah, it's also a billion dollar project.
Yes.
And they're going to open it on 9/9/2029.
They love those because the I remember it was 2009, September 9th.
Yeah.
I was 9 years old.
When it opened, actually.
Yes, and yeah. I remember just like, it was very poetic, but I think it rained also on that day or something.
Nice.
But I remember like stepping outside and just looking outside and like realizing, oh, the metro has opened. It was a big thing. So they love doing things on
29.
So that's yeah, opening. The Metro Blue Line is coming. Yeah. I think they're going to even expand to like a purple line, a green line eventually.
Yeah, eventually
now,
the idea always is to make it a 20-minute city and then reduce it to a 15-minute city.
Yes, that's Dubai had the Dubai also launched the master plan to become a walking city.
Yeah, 2040 urban master plan, that is the main plan. And then there's like branches into it.
Yes.
Then there's the walking part.
The walking part,
the metro part, that
public transport is just going to be getting a big push.
Taxis. We forgot air taxis.
Air taxis.
We forgot air taxis. Air taxis are launching in Dubai. That's also a $1 million project again. The first vertiport, basically the airport, which will be called a vertiport for air taxis, it has started construction. Sheikh Hamdan, Dubai Crown Prince, he started inauguration of like he just cut the ribbon and it's starting to build the first vertiport. There will be 4 points in Dubai. And you can move around those 4 points using air taxis. We
and
also
drone
did a video
deliveries.
On it, that how it will not like coincide with the flights that are taking off and everything, because when they take off, they're very down. So they'll have a whole system which will again be backed by an AI system. So AI will help them realize that, oh, don't go there, take this route. So there'll be like a whole air route system where the Dubai taxis will follow. And another interesting thing, the company Joby Aviation, which started this air taxi project in Dubai, their next three destinations are America, obviously, then UK, and the third one is Saudi Arabia.
Which is an interesting...
Which is a very interesting segue towards Saudi Arabia. So yeah, third point is Saudi Arabia. They're going into three more markets, and Saudi is one of them. And let's move on to Saudi now. What happened?
Let's talk a little bit about what's happened there.
With the UAE, the interesting thing is Abu Dhabi is doing something, Dubai is doing something, then Sharjah, Ajman, they had record years in property, they had record announcements.
The casino is coming. The
casino is coming. It's the Wywin. We forgot that completely. Yeah, so there's a casino coming in Ras Al Khaimah, and it's
when we get there. Let's talk about Saudi, because
2027 is the Ras Al Khaimah
more exciting
Wynn Marjan Island casino date. But Saudi Arabia, the main thing about it is that in UAE you see all Emirates working towards different goals based on their priorities and preferences. In Saudi Arabia you see just one company doing everything, that is PIF, Public Investment Fund, which is like the biggest sovereign wealth fund of Saudi Arabia, $1 trillion sovereign wealth fund again. They are a $1 trillion fund like ADIA. The funny thing about Saudi Arabia's PIF is, like Abu Dhabi's G42, I was trying to explain it in simpler terms, PIF has hundreds of companies under it as well. So they also invest in stuff. Recently, PIF wanted to buy PGA Tour. They were trying to take a stake in PGA Tour. PIF recently bought Heathrow Airport, 18% of the Heathrow Airport. So
nice.
They went in with a company in a combined collaborative, a business deal. And they bought nearly 52% shares, and 18% is now owned by Saudi PIF. They're also planning to buy the Newcastle Airport, all of it in the UK. They bought Harrods, majority share in Harrods. That is one of the biggest supermarket stores,
lovely.
Everything.
Yes.
So they've invested in literally everything. Sports-wise, Saudi Pro League, the Netflix documentary came out. That shows you the magnitude and the money they're putting into sports.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Esports World Cup happened in Saudi Arabia.
The best players in the world are now
Ronaldo,
in Saudi.
Benzema.
Yes.
Neymar injured, but yeah, big name to join them. So they're building a sports industry. And the very famous and very... nice words of His Highness, His Majesty, His Royal Majesty, Highness. In His Saudi, it's His Royal Highness. His Royal Highness, Mohammed bin Salman. He said that if people are saying that I'm using money to do greenwashing, sports washing, anything, any kind of washing, I don't care as long as it adds money or some percentage to my GDP. And that's a very good thing to say considering Saudi Vision 2030.
Yeah.
They want to just expand into every field possible, be it AI. AI-wise, Saudi Arabia, under PIF, and there's one company, I forgot the name. So PIF has made one company, and according to Bloomberg, it's a whole detailed report, they're trying to build a $100 billion AI company.
Yeah.
It's not about millions at all now, because they're moving into trillions, so they want to spend in billions. And the most important highlight of the year for Saudi Arabia, for me, would be FII 8, Future Investment Initiative. It's called the Davos of the Desert. So the Davos conference is happening in January. It's the World Economic Forum. It happens in Davos, yeah. So there, it's called the Davos in Desert. It was the 8th edition. Rich went there, our owner. He went there and he loved the idea that all the big people in the world who actually make the money move from one place to another, VC funds, the biggest asset managers, the biggest banks, TikTok CEO, Elon Musk, he came from a video call. He used Starlink to do the video call. So everyone was there. And I was talking to Word the other day, and I was like, this time I'll keep an eye on World Economic Forum, and I'll see the people that went to Saudi Arabia for FII, but didn't go to World Economic Forum.
So that would be an interesting comparison, yes.
Yeah. It's very interesting to know this guy doesn't think that World Economic Forum is now important. FII is more important. So BlackRock, Larry Fink, every big name that you can think of was there. So that was the highlight for Saudi Arabia this year. And it was bigger than ever. The only problem I saw with FII 8, they promised $30 billion of deals. But the last number that we got officially from them was $27 billion. But still, $27 billion is a lot of money. So that happened. FII 8 happened. They're planning a $100 billion AI company, which will again invest in data infrastructures and everything. The main important thing that I realized throughout the year for AI was, if you have money and if you want to invest, if you want to get into this AI rush, build a data center. Data centers, because they are the core of everything that we're seeing in AI.
Yeah.
Yeah. So all the data is stored there. They need cooling, they need energy. And this region has less expensive energy because oil, gas, all these. So this region is the perfect region to build data centers because energy cost is low and cooling is the same. Wherever you put servers, they'll heat up. So you have to cool them down. There's 100 million techniques now used, water-based. ACs are now, if you think you'll go into a server room of a data center and you'll see ACs blasting, no, it's water-based, it's plasma-based.
There's a lot of environmental impacts.
Yeah, that's also one of the problems.
I'm hoping that we find better ways to,
As soon as you talked about that, I remembered one thing. UAE is starting a solar farm for crypto farming.
Interesting.
So they also announced recently, last month, I remember, that they're building a solar farm. So they'll use solar energy to do crypto mining. And then eventually the idea is to move it towards supporting AI data centers.
Interesting.
So you thought about it and they've already done it. That's the beauty of the region.
That's a nice...
Yeah.
Yes, okay. I can make my cat videos in peace.
And the funny start this year that I read, which everyone quoted, was that if you make ChatGPT write 100 words for you, you're using one glass of water. So yeah, next time you ask ChatGPT, you go on a rant with ChatGPT, let's do a rap battle, just remember that when you ask ChatGPT to write 100 words, you're wasting one glass of water.
I feel a little guilty because interestingly, I think ChatGPT can sometimes give you a better therapy session. You can actually tell it your problems and it would be okay, here are some ways to help you out of it.
But still, it's cheaper, right? It's free for now. In the morning, I read that they've officially, finally now announced that they're going towards a non-profitable structure, better for people kind of a structure. It's not a for-profit structure. It's a more beneficiary structure. So they'll go into equity. People can buy shares and all that stuff. So they, in the morning, formally announced it. So soon enough, we'll see ChatGPT, the Pro, and all the higher versions which are paid, their prices will go up. The free version may come with limitations of like
ads,
50, 100 prompts a year. Yeah. Sorry, it's a global thing, not related to Middle East, but AI soon will have all these, will have eventually advertisements as well. So when you ask it, like Google search, you Google something, you get 4 or 3 sponsored links first. AI will now do that also soon enough. So when you ask them for, oh, I need contacts or companies for cameras, I want to buy cameras. So people will be able to like sponsor it. So yeah,
wow.
that is also going to
capitalism
happen.
Capitalism at its finest.
Yeah, they have to monetize it, I guess. See, and the computation power that is needed to run all of these things, the bad thing about it is that it needs a lot of money. Mm-hmm. So we think that we open ChatGPT, there's just a website, you write something, it gives you an answer. The process that goes behind like accumulating all that information and ChatGPT then using millions and trillions of processors to find the best solution to your question or problem or anything, it's enormous. You can't even imagine how big is it.
Mm.
So if you get a chance, if you listen, if you hear of any data center, just once go there and see the amount of... A simple example. Have you seen the old computers that were like, they took a whole hall, whole system? That is the idea of a data center right now.
Nice.
They have so big data centers. It feels like I'm using my laptop, but behind this is like rooms
system.
And rooms and rooms filled of servers and data centers. So yeah.
But anyway, coming back. So we have anything else that you want to add for Saudi? Or can we move on?
Saudi PIF, highlight of the year. They're doing everything. They're into everything. The only other company that I saw doing something was Kingdom Holding. They announced that Jeddah Tower is opening again.
Mm-hmm.
And they've started reconstruction. So soon enough, Burj Khalifa will not be the Instagrammable spot. Jeddah Tower, when it finishes, it will be 1 kilometer long. And Burj Khalifa is 800 something or 900 something.
Sure.
But Jeddah Tower will be 1 kilometer bigger than Burj Khalifa. So it will become officially the biggest building in the world.
I feel like I need to shout out Aramco. Just because every time I've come on the show, I've had to do the Smashy show in between. And every time I've had to come on, there's always at least 1 or 2 stories about Aramco.
Yeah,
I don't remember the stories, but I just know that they played a huge role this year.
Aramco, the main thing about Aramco that I love is they have so many funds under them. So
yes.
Why the Ventures is supported by Aramco.
Yes.
Aramco itself has a fund for startups. Likewise, they have a likely company which can replicate them as ADNOC.
Yes.
So if you go into details, if we have like 3-4 more hours, we'll talk about the ADNOC and Aramco. But just the highlight that they have their own startup funds.
Mm-hmm.
So they invest money into startups. FII8, the only thing, the last thing that I'll finish Saudi Arabia with is in FII8, the head of PIF, the governor of PIF, he announced that now we're not looking outside for investments. We've done enough. Now we'll look inside. So they're dropping their investment into foreign startups and foreign investment ventures.
Yeah.
They're dropping it around 18 to 20%. And all that money, they'll take and invest in local startups and local ideas and businesses. So that's a good thing that they're coming back to their country. And after that announcement, I saw like every day there's a Saudi startup which is getting funding from a local Saudi venture capital or an angel investor or some company. So Saudi Arabia, the summary is they're looking now inwards. UAE, the summary is they're looking towards AI and nothing else for now. And like future. For me, the summary for 2024 is Dubai is looking at the future. The present, they're perfectly fine with it and they're building the future. Saudi Arabia is now looking inside.
Yeah, more tourism, more revenue inside,
yeah.
Everything coming
yeah.
in.
And regionally, just to highlight.
Regionally, it's just...
It's just Qatar, Bahrain, Oman that are doing good.
Yeah.
Qatar has like the 6th or 7th largest sovereign wealth fund in in the Middle East, 500 billion. They're not a trillion one. But
I know that Syria is getting a new beginning.
Yeah, Syria's got a new beginning, thankfully.
I'm very curious to see how or if like the economy, if yeah. something's going to happen. All this while, it's just, you know, yeah. in Syria, they don't carry wallets
yeah.
because it's just, you just have to carry
money, yeah.
huge wads of cash because of how much the currency has dropped. So it's going to be very interesting to see if like they come up, if yeah. something's going to happen.
So since Bashar al-Assad went down, the dollar to Syrian pound conversion has come down from 1 to 25,000. So $1 was 25,000 Syrian. It has come down to nearly 10,000, 11,000 now. So that's a good recovery. They're going for a free market capitalist economy. The Chamber of Commerce, Damascus Chamber of Commerce, had he announced that to Reuters. So that's happening. The new head of Syria, I don't know, should I call him president, prime minister, he's just the head of Syria by default, de facto. He started meeting a lot of people in the region and he's making business deals. There's a lot of sanctions on Syria because of Bashar
yes.
al-Assad. So people are slowly talking about it and removing those sanctions. So mm-hmm. soon we'll see they'll recover. It takes a lot of time to recover.
Yeah.
That's the only thing you can say about Syria. So 2025 yeah. will be like the planning for recovery. Not
yes.
even actual recovery.
But small steps,
yeah,
you know?
Small steps.
It is a country that has had to go through so much loss yeah. in the past 10 years.
Yeah.
So we can hope for better things to yeah. come.
Overall, just one thing before I forget. Overall, the GCC region, the GCC, the cohort that is GCC, they've announced a 15% tax that UAE has implemented now. Oman, Bahrain, Kuwait, all of them have now announced it.
The corporate.
So any corporate, multinational corporation, which
yes.
works throughout the world, if they earn more than 750 million euros, they'll pay 15% tax. So that's one of the moves that was made, and a lot of people had a problem with it, like because these places are tax havens.
Yeah.
But the amnesty that they get on a lot of other things, that's the
makes
good thing.
Makes it worth it.
Yeah. And otherwise, the whole region was in conflict.
Lebanon,
Israel's
Palestine,
genocide
Palestine
in Palestine, Israel's invasion of Lebanon, Israel, and then Syria was facing so many problems. So overall, to be honest, on average, if you see, if I have to give a score, it'll be like 8 out of 10. They're doing really great. It's just the start. That's the main thing. Soon enough, they'll see something happening, some miracle happening throughout the region. It's actually pouring in here and there. Saudi recently announced 500 million for Yemen. So that's a good thing. So yeah, the whole region is growing. They're becoming the new Europe. Thank you so much for joining
thank
us
you.
On the last show of the day, of the year. We'll see you next year. Tomorrow is off, so we'll be live on Thursday. And thank you so much, Anika.
Thank you, Majid.
I'm sorry I said a lot.
It's okay. I've learned a lot. I look forward to living in this country.
Soon.
Soon?
Like, soon enough, it'll be the best country in the world. So you'll be proud. You're still proud.
I'm proud. I'm loving
Everyone
Dubai.
Is proud. Yeah. Thank you so much. Take care. See you on 2nd January. Have a great day. If you're one of the 1.34 million listeners, thank you so much for listening to us. Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.